Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following podcast contains adult themes, sexual content, and strong language. Basically, all the good stuff.
Hello and welcome to the last ever chapter of My Dad Wrote a Porno. I know.
I can't hear those words.
I never thought I would.
So mad.
It hasn't hit home still, has it? I think we were talking last week it hasn't hit home, but this really is it.
Well, we do have one more episode. I say it's the final. It's the final one of us reading a book, but we do have an amazingly special episode next week. A Footnotes with Dad. Hearing from Rocky Flintstone himself for the first and the last time.
Hearing his dulcet tones, hearing his actual voice.
Do you think he'll just use it as an opportunity to really have a go at us? He's like, you know, we've spent...
And another thing.
Yeah. He'll probably come with receipts and be like, James, you said this in 2018.
Oh, no, you know you'll be fine. It'll be me and Jamie that are dragged over hot coals.
It's funny that you say that, though, that you guys aren't ready. It's really hit me today. All day I've been kind of like... emotional.
What actually. Have you been doing? Quoting from the books?
I just like this.
Walking around with a big red giant book on his hip. Yeah.
I don't know. It's been such a huge part of our lives, right? And it's been amazing, but I can't kind of believe it's over.
It's just mind blowing to me that we've created, all of us together, an actual global community. Millions of people all come together to do this.
Oh, they're all over the place. They're all over the shop. And I hope they're all here today for the listening party.
Absolutely.
We told you last week we're having a listening party. So wherever you are in the world right now, I hope you've all pressed play at the same time. We're going to listen, tweet along together using the hashtag, different this time, by Belinda, B-Y-E Belinda.
Okay, gosh.
Hashtag by Belinda. And we can all be tweeting on there and having a little drink, having a little joke, having a little reminisce.
If I can get through this without blubbing, it'll be a big day.
Did any of you ever think this would be your job?
Is it our job? I still don't really think it's our job.
Oh yeah, don't get wrong, it's super fun and, like, you know, it doesn't feel, you know, if you, what's the phrase, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I'm wearing the t-shirt right now. But it is kind of a job. Did you ever see that you'd be reading your father's erotic literature for a living?
And that would pay your electricity bill, nearly.
In my bloody full house that is, yeah, free, it's like a mausoleum. No, and I think, you know, well, I mean,
Jamie regards this as a calling.
Yeah, this is vocational. This is very much.
We've all been working consistently on other things throughout the process. So I like to feel like that's my job and this is just something I do with my friends.
But what did you want to do when you were younger?
Surely not this.
What did you want to do when you were younger? Like, I wanted to...
Run a video shop.
Have I ever talked about this?
I mean, probably 1,000 times on the podcast, yes.
But have I told you what I used to do with my sister?
Take them out of the boxes and line up the boxes and...
Oh, has this been on the podcast?
I couldn't tell you. It's been 8 years. I don't know. James, just retell a story. It's not like we haven't done it before a million times.
Well, I'm going to do it just in case.
Just do it quickly, for God's sake.
Used to use the living room like a video shop.
And get your sister to come in and do their costume.
I would take... Yeah, for God. Yeah. I would take the VHSs out of the boxes.
Yeah.
Place them around the room, displayed. Yeah. And then my sister would peruse.
As the customer.
Yeah. Choose what she'd like to watch.
The empty box, yeah.
Bring it to the counter.
And then get the actual VHS and put it in the empty box?
Exactly, yeah. I'd go to the shelving of the VHSs and put it
in
the
a different room?
No. It's just at the back.
Oh, okay.
At the back of the living room.
So no like store cupboard that you'd
go to. Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, oh, Little Mermaid, excellent choice. And put it in the box and send her on away. And be like, bring it back tomorrow. You've paid for a one-night rental. So have I told that already?
My mind will be blown if you haven't. This is the main reason why we should end, is because I think we're at the bottom of the anecdote barrel.
We've run out of stories about our lives, for
if
sure.
If you haven't told that, incredible. Incredible that you've saved that up, because I've heard that in real life so many times. So how you've never told it, and we've heard about paints on the podcast, but never that. That's a miracle.
Yeah, I thought that was finale worthy, but clearly not.
But obviously, you know, we are kind of midway through a story here, guys. You know, as much as this is, you know, sad, we have to finish reading the book.
We do. And where did we leave it?
Well, we left it on quiet.
Sorry, Jamie clearly doesn't want to dwell in the sentimental. He's like, well, guys, we must bring this
story time. I've got a train to catch.
Oh no! I just.
What about James's question? Did you want to do? Was this your job? He's refusing to admit it's his job.
Well, I'm about to become unemployed if it is.
Are you trying to avoid some sort of tax arrangement or something? Is that what's going on?
No, yeah, we can keep chatting if you want.
No, it's fine. We can get back to the book. Come on, let's...
Gun to his head.
He's right. It's what people have come for. Yeah, so Belinda and Peter Rouse were on the banks of Rio de Janeiro.
James, we had a marriage proposal.
Oh, yes.
I mean, one of the biggest things that have ever happened in these books, and you don't even remember it. It was last week.
The will they, won't they, that nobody wanted.
It's because the highs are so high and the lows are so low in Belinda Blink that we are just completely desensitised to any shot.
Okay, so are we ready to find out what she's going to say? Is it a yes? Is it a no?
Shall we make our predictions?
Okay, yes.
I think she's an independent woman. She don't need no man. It's going to be a no.
I think yes, but I think we'll find out at the very beginning of the chapter. I think it'll open like, yes! or is it the opposite, where we don't get the answer till the very end?
Oh, like a time jump.
Oh, I don't know.
Suppose this episode is all about the wedding. She says yes, and we fast forward, because he's done that before, to her wedding day.
That is true. He does miss out crucial details. And Jamie?
It's got to be a no, sorry.
All right, okay.
Do you not think? Come on.
Yeah, I think
so. Belinda. Okay, right. For the very last time, I'm going to do the little intro with a little bit of music.
So we'll never have you do this again, will we?
Never.
Oh my God.
Okay, are we ready?
No, are you?
I don't think I am.
Belinda blinked. The fucktastic farewell dinner.
Oh my God, this is a fucktastic farewell dinner.
Better not be.
Absolutely fucktastic.
Okay. Belinda looked around the church. No. No.
The chicken.
The churrascaria.
The churrascaria.
The churrascaria.
So we have moved location.
Well, that could be on the banks of the River Rio Danube or wherever they are.
That is Brazilian, I think. A churrascaria.
No, that's not in doubt. It's just I think that's where we were before. Unless we were and we never told.
Sorry, what's a churrascaria? Is that the full name of Chicara Montague?
I actually do know this because I have been to Brazil to visit my parents, and it's like a restaurant where they serve meat and they kind of like carve the meat off like a skewer. Oh, and you can kind of have as much as you want as well.
Because I've been to ones where there's like a traffic light system where when you turn your light onto green or your card onto green, they just keep bringing the meat, baby. And then you turn it over to red and it's like, no more meat, baby.
Really?
That's amazing, yeah. Mm.
Well, it's just a conveyor belt of meat until you scream stop.
It's slightly less fast foody than you're making it sound, though. It's like deliciously like barbecued meat, but yes, essentially.
I'm picturing it like, you know, conveyor belt sushi.
Yeah, no, it's not
and
that.
It just drops into your mouth until you're like, I can't anymore.
Conveyor belt sushi doesn't drop into your mouth.
No, I'm picturing it like
Alice at the end of it.
Oh, wait a sec. Is that not how you take it off the conveyor?
Yes, exactly.
Right, okay. I've been laying my jaw down.
James Cooper. Each place setting had sturdy cardboard coasters with sim and now on each side.
Oh, there you go. See? Yes and no.
This was to determine how much meat would be sliced onto the guest's plate by the waiting staff.
Someone's been to churrascaria before.
All you can eat meat had Belinda written all over it after all. Well, that's true.
That is quite appropriate. So they'll come and carve the meat table side and then you'll go flip and then they'll stop.
That's
a lot of meat, isn't it?
I never have mine on red. Mine's always on green. It's just like, do
you
not
throw
stop
away
the meat.
That other one.
Exactly.
Peter's knee was beginning to hurt, so he spoke once again.
Is he still down on one knee?
Yeah. Belinda, he said, are you alive? I wish to marry you. Belinda was brought back to the present.
Just because it's the last one, don't think you can get away with that accent. What's going on?
That's my Dutch.
Dutch, come on, rein it in. Think back to him back in the maze. He didn't sound bonkers like that, did he?
That was voided accents, you see. There you go. She flipped the cardboard coaster between her long fingernails.
That's how she's going to say yes or no.
But if she says yes, then she'll just big pile of meat's going to fall on it.
She flipped the cardboard coaster between her long fingernails like the Wicked Witch of Whoopi.
Not a thing, never will be.
Meeting his longing eyes, she held up her coaster. Peter's heart sank like a lira in the Trevi fountain.
She said, yeah.
His wish...
He was only joking.
His wish had not come true.
Oh, Pete, mate.
This was because Belinda was never to be a Mrs.
Yes.
She had no desire to marry.
Yes.
There was even a... All right, dear. There was even a well-known idiomic... You can say idiomic.
Idiomatic?
It just says idiomic.
Idiom?
Sure. A well-known idiomic saying about it. No sex after marriage.
Oh, so this is a completely topsy-turvy world then.
Where... I think that's a joke though, isn't it? That's saying, you know, when you get married.
Oh, I thought it was literally a rule of the Belinda Blink universe.
No, I think it's sort of like that's the nail in the coffin. Is that what people, it's alluding to?
It's known that, you know, married couples don't have as much sex, or that's at least the stereotype, you know.
But if you get married on your second date, then maybe...
you would hope it doesn't just completely nosedive.
So no sex after marriage. That was not her. No way, Jose. Or Peter. Or whoever.
Very good.
Peter, darling, Belinda tactfully talked. Although this is undoubtedly... No.
Oh, so you tried to say it right and he's written it wrong.
Although this is undoubtedly not the answer you want, I have often thought about you and indeed have lusted, if not loved you.
No, you haven't.
But I'm flattered. Why not let's have a dip in the hay sack as a consolation shag?
A dip in the hay sack? Sounds painful. A dip in the hay sack?
It's going to be scratchy, isn't it? Yeah.
Peter Rouse, though disappointed, took off his wife fronts and stood.
And everyone's just got piles of meat in front of them. Everyone's got piles of meat in front of them.
So Peter Rouse, though disappointed, took off his wife fronts and stood before Belinda. They were both now naked and as such turned on to the max.
Those two things do sometimes follow.
Without further ado, he looked at his one true love. His cock grew at the speed of the 1980s economy.
You're getting turned on and you're learning.
Ready to boom and bust.
Ooh, I just kind of imagine it though, a really like pointy angle, like exponential growth, just like ka-toing. It's very unusual.
What do you want? You want a bell curve?
What, like just straight out in front or like...
Can I just say, this is vintage Rocky. This is combining the sex with the business.
Business, absolutely. Yeah. So his cock grew at the speed of the 1980s economy, ready to boom and bust. In response, Belinda's pussy began crying tears of joy.
She needed a tissue, Belinda.
Peter Rouse moved slowly towards her. With the gentlest of touches, he caressed her soft body in the shape of ancient ruins.
What? Do you remember in the maze he was like drawing runes on her back?
Oh, I thought he said ruins. I was like, a bit harsh.
Each tender brush elicited sexual pleasure deep within her. Belinda's whole body tingled, goose pimples flooding her skin like a non-contagious type of chicken pox.
Wow. Okay.
Or like goosebumps, because I think everybody knows what they are.
You got them last week.
I really did. The hairs on end. Oh.
I never had chicken pox.
I think so. You never had goosebumps. I was like, James, you are dead inside. You've never had chicken pox.
Never had chicken pox.
Very dangerous for an adult.
I know.
It's dangerous for an adult.
Yeah, apparently.
Shingles, isn't it, when you're an adult?
I don't know.
You're listening to My Dad Wrote a Porno.
I thought it was dangerous for babies.
It's also dangerous for babies. Should we do a new podcast after this about like your health questions answered?
Just do the opposite of what we say.
Yeah, our USP is that we never Google anything. We just say old wives' tales off the top of our head.
Let's embrace podcasting before Ofcom comes and shuts it all down.
Well, people say it's dangerous to Google diagnose.
Yeah.
So actually, we're avoiding that pitfall. Yeah.
So Belinda's whole body tingled, goose pimples flooding her skin like a non-contagious type of chicken pox. Peter whispered long-lost languages in her ear.
He loves all that, doesn't he? He loves all that ancient
Greek
stuff.
Or Latin.
I'd argue not lost.
Yeah, sorry, whatever they spoke in Atlantis.
Well documented.
Fucking muchus.
Peter whispered long-lost languages in her ear, trying to change her answer, but instead...
Oh, he's putting like a spell on her.
But instead created so much carnal tension that her labia began emitting clouds of condensation, whistling like a kettle.
Did you say whistling?
Whistling.
Her vagina was whistling.
Whistling.
And this is why it must end.
Nothing ever whistled down there. Whistled down the minge.
I mean, if you... if you do place an ocarina by your vagina...
Oh my God, very good. Very good. Till the bitter end, he's very good, isn't he?
Peter lay her down and entered her intensely. He moved in, then out.
Yep.
Then in again.
Sure.
Shake it all about.
Like a husband who argued with his wife a lot.
What?
Moving in and out.
He of moved
the house.
In, then out, then in again. Like a husband who argued with his wife a lot.
Drastic. It's
also really taking me out of the mood. Also not like a husband because she said no.
So we've had chicken pox.
Yeah.
Divorce, essentially. What other analogies have we had so far?
Just steamy, wet.
Yeah,
wet. Custard or whatever it was.
So he moved in, then out, then in again, like a husband who argued with his wife a lot. It was truly erotic.
Is it? Is it?
Sounds pretty standard to me.
In, out,
out.
In, out.
That's very revealing as well, that Rocky thinks when you argue with your partner a lot, you move in and out. Like, quite full on to move out.
Yeah, I mean...
A lot.
Every time you argue.
Maybe he's down to the pavilion for the night, you know.
Just got a little overnight bag by the door.
Belinda squeezed all her inside muscles and rode the orgasmic waves like the Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, wow. This is epic, isn't it?
It is.
What was the Poseidon Adventure?
It's a movie in like the 70s.
That wasn't the one where the boat turned over.
Was it
over.
Disaster?
I think so.
It was a disaster movie.
Orgasmic waves, wasn't it? Like about a tsunami, I think.
Oh, was it a storm?
Yeah.
And it tipped the boat on its head.
Oh, sure.
Because the waves were so strong.
Right.
Amazing.
So they were like walking on the ceiling.
Okay.
Who were? The
people
Mary
on the boat.
Poppins. I think you recorded the first half of one film and the second half of another. And they laughed and they had to stop laughing and then they came down.
So she squeezed all her inside muscles and rode the orgasmic waves like the Poseidon Adventure. Pulling out, Belinda began to deep throat Peter Jr. The thick...
Peter Jr.
Don't call it Peter Jr.
Oh, Peter Jr.
I've never given my penis a name.
No.
Have you?
No.
I don't seriously think anyone does give their penis a name, do they?
No, they do. In fact, one of our dear footnotes guests has named his penis something.
Who?
Michael Sheen.
Named his penis?
He has called his penis the Great Christine Baranski.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Oh, I might do that, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
But do you give it another name, like a friend... Or do you give it a name that's a sort of character, like The Rock? Like, I don't mean The Rock, but like The Beast.
Well, I think name it after one of your favourite legendary actresses. Or...
a dame, some would say.
But does he name it that?
Mine's Dame Judi Dench.
But who do you tell that to? Because I think...
millions of people, apparently.
What I mean is, we've discussed before that... Nicknames are to be given, not to be created yourself.
In the throes of passion, I don't think you'd be like...
Meet Christine.
Alice, meet the great Christine Baranski. Do you... Vagina name? Boob names?
Boob names, no.
No?
I did actually wear a very low-cut top once, and somebody said, oh, the Levines are out. And I was like, don't call them the Levines, because that's my parents. So that was unnerving.
Oh, God. So,
gross.
Yeah, it is.
And then all I could think about was, yeah. Mm. They're always close to my heart.
Belinda began to deep throat Peter Jr., the thick appendage plugging a gob. She licked and sucked his cock as she dug out her pussy.
What?
What?
Dug out.
She. So she's. Why is she digging out a pussy?
Oh, she's masturbating while she gives a blowjob.
Right. Thank you,
Alice. Dug it out, though.
I mean, you shouldn't have to dig it out. There should be no excavation involved.
Yeah.
But then everything that he writes is so. It's always major construction, isn't there? It's always.
She sounds like she's fracking.
That's his building background. So you've got his business with his economy, building with a digging out a pussy.
I can imagine placards, fucking not fracking.
Yeah, exactly.
He was truly the Tiger Woods of bonking.
Right, stop. Who?
The Tiger Woods. You know, he's obsessed with like not naming people because of legal reasons, blah, blah. I guess he means the Tiger Woods.
So is it two capital V's?
No, that would have been even better. No, it's just a V. Oh, right,
okay. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. He was truly the Tiger Woods of bonking, having the stamina of a big cat who always got a hole in one.
We don't need to say the Tiger Woods of bonking, do you? You just say the Tiger Woods.
He was the Tiger Woods.
Well, because Tiger Woods was known for bonking too, right?
That's true.
But he's not called Tiger Woods because he's got the stamina of a big cat.
I don't understand any of this.
Let's break it down. Okay, so he was truly the Tiger Woods...
Of bonking,
having the stamina of a big cat, that's the tiger, I guess.
Yeah.
And always got a hole in one, golf reference, I guess.
It's the tiger bit I'm struggling with. Because is Tiger Woods his real name?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
So he's not named because he has the stamina of
No, but
a tiger.
I think Dad's just using that as a reference as to why someone else would be called Tiger.
Oh no, his real name is Eldrick Tomt. Okay. Doesn't quite have the same...
You can see why I changed it.
He's the Eldrick Tont of shouting.
Oh, I love that we found that out. I thought Tiger Woods' real name was Tiger.
Yeah, I did, but...
But we can see... I mean, you know when people change their names and you're like, oh, don't get a Hollywood name.
Yeah, Eldrick Tont.
I don't hold that against him, do you?
He still has Woods. Woods is his real surname.
Actually, that's what I'm going to call my boobs. Eldrick Tont.
The other members of the gathering wasted no time in following their lead. As special trade envoys, Alphonse Sturbacker and Jim Sterling
hey.
Were giddy as little goats skipping across a bridge. Alphonse...
He has lost the plot.
Alphonse enjoyed navigating Giselle's human form, becoming hard as a pumice stone... With the
Ooh, rough.
Yeah.
Abrasive.
Mm. Also, does give a bit.
Yeah, kind of chalky.
Becoming hard as a pumice stone with the slightest brush of flesh to flesh.
You're right, though. You could have chosen harder stones.
Mm.
Granite.
Yeah.
Cement.
Cement.
Cement. Cement. Really stone. Stone,
but
no.
It's nice that you took part.
Concrete.
Pebble.
Breeze block.
Okay, rude and rude. So we're all supposed to be being nice to each other today.
Breeze block was harsh.
Why don't you take Eldrick and Tom and be on your way?
So, Alphonse enjoyed navigating Giselle's human form, becoming hard as a pumice stone with the slightest brush of flesh to flesh. With perk, fruitful titties and legs up to her nostrils, she was a bonny lassie.
Did you mean say perk?
Perk?
Is that not...
Perky
he
or
means
pert?
Pert. He's put perk. with perk... There's too many here. With perk, fruitful titties and legs up to her nostrils...
She sounds like, do you remember the green M&M? The
sexy,
who
got
was
canceled.
Just legs and an M&M.
And didn't they say it was too sexy?
Yeah.
Too sexy,
didn't
an M&M?
Didn't she get cancelled for being too sexy?
I think they just toned down her sexiness. I think it was like a bit misogynistic.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, they put her in trainers, didn't they?
I think they flattened her heels, yeah.
Like, it is interesting with, like, you know, cartoon characters that are sexy. I know that we have touched on it before. And you know that Miriam Margolyes was the voice of the sexy Cadbury Bunny?
No.
Not only... Belinda's clit, famously, but also that bunny that was like sexy.
Miriam Margolyes did the voice of the sexy. No.
Yeah, apparently she used to do loads of like sex stuff,
That Cadbury's Bunny was absolutely banging.
Was it your sexual awakening?
No, but I do remember thinking, God, she's got it going on. It was also just a bit weird because it was so unnecessary. Like, I can see why, like, is she called Jessica Rabbit?
Yeah, the really hot one.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's part of the character.
Yeah.
Do you need a sexy cartoon bunny to sell?
Why is it always rabbits?
Rampant rabbits, you know, they are known to be sexual creatures.
There were some animators that have really unresolved issues around their family pets.
She was also a voice of the chimps in the PG Tips adverts.
Why do you know so much about Miriam Margolyes?
I read a book.
Did you?
I did.
He's looking for voice work after this. He's like, what could I play?
One of our big regrets is not getting Miriam Margolyes on the show.
And do you know what? From reading her book, I was like, my God, she would have been the perfect guest. If only she listened. I mean, you know, we don't get people on who don't listen, but she'd be great.
Jamie, I'm sure you're thinking about your career beyond this.
Yes.
I think you could do character voice work.
I'm waiting for Pixar to call me.
Pixar? DreamWorks more like.
Wow. Oh, are they God. The ones that are known for, like, doing...
great films.
But basically the same film as Pixar, but just a slightly shitter version. It's like when...
Bugs Life.
Ants.
Sure.
Ants. And then, like...
Or aunts, as Jamie calls them.
Or aunts. And then... call back. And then when Finding Nemo came out, they had Shark Tale, didn't they?
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, exactly.
Even Scorsese couldn't save that one.
Oh.
Scorsese's in Shark Tale.
Yeah, he's like a voice in Shark Tale. Yeah.
God, I'm learning some stuff today.
Okay, that really was a tangent, guys. Even for us. Okay, so just to repeat this. With perk, fruitful titties and legs up to her nostrils, she was a bonny lassie and Alphonse knew the recipe to make her furry feline fizz.
What does that noise mean?
You're all right.
It just means I don't really know what to say anymore.
Why are you salivating?
Well, like fizzy vagina, drippy vagina.
Well, fizz just like, you know, excited, I reckon.
And her furry feline.
Feline pussy. Furry pubic hair. We can always track it back to some sort of logic if we go far enough. Bella grabbed Jim Sterling. Her plan for the evening was picking off the weakest before...
Sounds so sinister.
That's the spirit.
Her plan for the evening was picking off the weakest before working up to the most virile last.
Oh, right. So she's sort of warming up.
Right.
To...
which kind of makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
As he slipped inside her, he began to shake with passion. Not after long, Bella's delicious bouncing jugs nearly took her eye out as she writhed and gooed up and down the Texan multimillionaire.
Took her own eye out.
I can guarantee that has never happened. That somebody has never been hit in the eye by their own boob and taken it out.
They'd have to be pretty droopy, wouldn't they?
I think you'd also have to have some kind of piercing on the nipple for it to
gouge out the eye.
To gouge out the eye.
Don't they need more, like...
length.
Yeah, length on them than
elasticity.
Because if they're too big, they probably stay quite in place.
I mean, one of the fundamental issues is the physics of them being very, very soft breasts. Mm,
yeah, well, exactly. James thinks that the bigger they are, like, what, the harder they are and they don't move at all. That's kind of the opposite, to be honest.
Oh, right, okay.
Unless they're obviously enhanced.
Well, yeah, if they're fake, they'll be very, very firm.
Right, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
I think that is what you're thinking about, yeah. His only reference of boobs is Pamela Anderson.
Oh, well, and you're a trash. Do you remember the woman on that who had massive boobs?
Yeah. Did you think they were real?
Yeah. That was a show in the 90s that you'd watch if you were a kid to get, like, any access to nudity.
Dare I say, not completely representative of the female form.
No.
Those two source materials.
Yeah. Or Europe, I'd say.
Well.
Also, interesting, voiceover, Maria McCurlin was who? The voice of Eurotrash.
Maria McCurlin.
Maria McCurlin.
Who's Maria McCurlin and why am I hearing so much about her?
I love Maria McCurlin. She does Graham Norton's radio show with him.
Maria McCurlin.
What's happened to him today?
I think he's trying to get another job.
I don't think Maria McCurlin wants getting dragged into this, thank you very much.
Do you feel like he's got a little like notepad of like everything he hasn't ever, he's never mentioned that he just wants to like crowbar in?
It's so incongruous, yeah. Isn't it? He's like, do you know how much krill there is in the ocean? I'm like, what?
You mentioned Eurotrash.
He's like, do you want to know the chemical formula? It's like, no, get on with it. Read the book.
Oh, now I can read the book, can I?
What's on your computer screen? Where are you reading from?
I'm reading from my phone.
But where are your facts coming from?
My brain.
His brain.
He's learnt them on the way here, hasn't he?
What, you think that because I was imagining everything that James could possibly say to have a fact associated with it?
Very defensive, Jamie.
Is there something written on his hand? God.
Cheat. Do you know what? I wish him all the best. I hope he does get a job being
so do I.
What do you want? Dictionary Corner? Susie's already got it, but she might retire.
Jamie, info@dreamworks.com. Email them. And they'll sort you out.
Maria McCurland. Christ. Poor woman. Poor woman getting dragged into this sordid affair so late in the day.
She'll get tweets.
She thought she'd swerved it. The last episode.
Oh, God.
How are you spelling that?
She's actually great. I love her.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Maria McCurley.
Anyway, what was the fact? She's the voice of what?
Eurotrash. You heard the voiceover.
Oh, okay. That is a good fact.
Drag him through the mud and then be like, it's quite good. Oh my God. Honestly, we're like, you're a piece of shit. Why do you keep coming out with that? And then James is like, I'm actually going to mention that down the post.
Gee, Bella, you've got an amazing fuck grip. Jim scoffed.
I went down the wrong hole. Literally.
What's a fuck grip? We just...
Fuck grip, like, I think it's what the patriarchy call the pelvic floor.
Is that what, you're hearing that a lot in locker rooms,
oh, yeah.
Jim scoffed, in between heavy catches of breath. Oh. Gee, Bella, you've got an amazing fuck grip.
She really has started with the weakest.
Thanks, boo-boo!
Hey! Hang on, though, because this might be... the last time we hear Bella.
Oh, my God. Well, it will be.
Thanks, Bobo.
Bella boomed.
It's my pay lattes.
He's spelt that very interestingly.
That's her last line. It's my pay lattes.
P-E-L-A-R-T-A-Y-S.
I stopped listening, honestly. Quite, like in the first two letters.
Pilates.
As the seconds melted into a minute and through the erratic panting, Bella could just decipher. I'm close.
So is James.
Good. Pull out and paint my face.
Oh, this is so rough.
Paint my face.
It's paints all over you.
It's paints. It's going to be a Picasso if ever I've seen one.
Jim obliged and slopped his newish big thick member out of Bella's slushy pussy. Grabbing it in his hand, he wrung its neck
until... that's a fantastic description.
Choke the chicken. Wrung its neck is disgusting.
Oh my God. Wring its neck.
Grabbing it in his hand.
Imagine somebody saying to you, wring its neck.
Wring the great Christine Baranski's neck.
Oh. And somebody go, what? And they go, no, no, no. This Christine Baranski.
Grabbing it in his hand, he wrung its neck.
Like, it's the only kind thing to do. You know, when you're like, I had to wring its neck.
Yeah, of its misery.
Oh.
Grabbing it in his hand, he wrung its neck until... until thick blue gloops of DNA splattered everywhere.
Wring its neck is...
it's fantastic.
It's vile and fantastic.
What a beautiful way to end.
Wring its neck.
I just can't get over that.
I just can't stop saying it over and over in my head.
It now makes me think of the top of the penis, like having a little mouth on it.
Oh, God.
What, like the shaft's the neck?
Yeah.
Oh.
And also a bit like, you know when you give someone a friction burn on their wrist and so your hands are going in different directions? So you're sort of grabbing at it as if it was someone's arm and then...
Oh, it God. Really is quite final, which is fitting, I suppose, for this episode.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Online Therapy.
Now, we don't always realise just how much our negative thoughts and experiences stick with us and weigh us down. You might find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings, that frustrating thing your mum does, or that silly thing you said in a meeting.
Maybe it's time to get all of this off your chest. And I'm sorry about what I said last week, James. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. And that's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it, so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mydad today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mydad. All of a sudden, the door of the Brazilian feasting room burst open.
It's got walls now.
And a door.
And it's now a Brazilian feasting room.
The main manager man zoomed in, as red as the inside of Giselle's pussy lids.
Zoomed in? Is he on some kind of scooter or something?
I imagine him on like a Segway.
Yeah, that's exactly how I picture him.
I don't think that's what he was going for here, though.
I'm not going to even attempt a Brazilian accent because I got into so much shit for it, you know, with Marco Rodriguez, so...
Oh, yeah, Marco.
Well, how did you do Marco? Just do Marco.
No, I did a lisp, which is wrong.
Oh.
Well, don't do that then. Do it right.
How dare you? This is a respectable establishment.
The Italian owner, so...
God. He lived in Rome his whole life.
He yelled the baldish main manager man.
Get out! You are bad, the lot of you!
He spent a little bit of time in Spain because his mother's Spanish.
So finally, someone who comes from the real world is like, you can't just fuck in my restaurant.
Yeah.
Is this the first time they've ever been stopped?
I think so.
Yeah. It's just like, this is random, ridiculous behaviour. You shouldn't be doing this here.
Because we just assumed in the world of Belinda Blink, like, this is maybe normal. Acceptable, yeah.
But not on the banks of Rio de Janeiro.
Clearly.
So you're barred. They're barred.
Well, they're never going back, are they? They're only going to be there for the night.
What a punishment.
Yeah, devoed.
Have you ever been barred from a pub?
I don't think so.
Alice?
Never been to a pub.
Pub, question mark?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Have you been barred from pubs, James?
I have been barred from... Well...
It's easier to list what he's allowed.
I have been barred from one pub. And this was, about 10 years ago. It actually made national news.
I knew it was going to be something else. That we haven't mentioned before.
Why have we never talked about this?
I was in the pub. It was a pub in Soho in London. And next to our table, there was a gay couple on a date.
Not me, for once.
I didn't know them. And they started making out. Because it wasn't even like a make out, really. They just kissed each other. And they got thrown out of the pub. And then I
remember this.
Yes.
I remember this.
It was like front page of the Guardian stuff.
It was the...
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And I've never... Well, I'm barred famously, but I would never go back anyway.
I wouldn't go back because I saw it in the news.
Yeah, so that I then started protesting in the pub to be like, you can't throw someone out for that.
He's an ally.
I am.
Who knew?
And then... I don't know, that you would have known. And then me and my friend Lucy, we got barred as well. We got thrown out and then barred. We were like, you can never come back. And then, yeah, it was in the press and all sorts.
Oh, my God, of course his barring has to make the national media.
Fucking front page.
Ridiculous.
Was there a picture of you as well, or like a quote from you?
But I think there was a quote from me somewhere, and Lucy as well. But I always wonder what happened to that couple, because they were really nice. But I mean, it was a first date, so they're probably not still together. But
Jamie, on behalf of the gay community, thank you for your tireless efforts to make safer spaces in London.
Look, it was outrageous and justice had to be served. And I think it was actually, I think there was a change of management at that pub.
So can we go back yet?
I think you can. I still can't, but go nuts.
Do you think your face is behind the bar? Or how do they ever remember? This is what I don't understand about barring people.
Because he was on the cover of The Guardian.
I wasn't on the cover of The Guardian. It was, but the couple had a photo shoot on the front page. Yeah.
Jamie provided headshots, but never made the spread.
So they've been barred.
Right.
So the chief executives all giggled and laughed and tittered as they were escorted out, smeared with sex sweat and a reckless nature. However, unfortunately for them, as this mob of naked bodies flooded the street, a passing police car summoned its sirens.
Uh-oh.
In the clink.
Maus para cima voice este de titos.
I'm sure that was perfect.
Okay.
Should I Google that?
Sure. Portuguese, obviously, which is a hard accent.
Maus para cima voce está detido. Hands up, you are detained.
Okay.
Oh.
Busted. So, James, you said that so beautifully. Just say it again.
Maus para cima voce está detido.
The police people screamed as they began handcuffing everyone they could see.
Oh God, they'll love that.
Belinda was no novice when it came to evading capture.
This is true.
Or evading work.
Quite. And with a thankful kiss to spoons above them all, she grabbed Giselle and Bella.
Oh, so that's like to the heavens, is that?
Yeah. Maneuvering the beautifully patterned sidewalk stones, that is famous, isn't it, in Rio? The beautiful pavements.
Okay.
There he goes again.
Maneuvering.
This is for his travel show. All right, Palin, put it away.
Maneuvering the beautifully patterned sidewalk stones, the glee team became lost in deepest, darkest Rio.
Fully nude.
Fully nude.
Nude to the eyeballs, is what you would say.
Belinda knew only one hiding place. As they trudged through the sand, Mother Nature's whispers...
I thought they were on the side streets.
Well, as they trudged through
the sand... Don't you put that little finger up at me. Don't you well and then finger me.
We just had a whole sentence about the pavements and we've gone straight to the sand.
Well, if you know Brazil...
I don't.
Okay. Well, as they trudged through... We might learn something. As they trudged...
A horrid little finger.
As they trudged through the sand, Mother Nature's whispers caressed their naked bodies on the Ipanema beach.
Wind. It's like reading a cryptic crossword at this point, isn't it? Mother Nature's whispers, four letters.
Also, you have to accept, and I know that we're 8 years deep, so everybody knows this, but you have to accept that time passes in a strange way, distances pass in a strange way. You're on the cobbles, you're on the sand. Like
But that is famous in Rio, is that those sidewalks are next to the beach. Mm. I'm just saying, Al. I'm just saying. Mm.
I don't know. It's starting to feel like the later Game of Thrones seasons. You know, when the crows travelled really quickly. They're like, send the crow and it'll get there in like an hour.
Planting themselves down, Giselle mused something. If only we had smuggled a box of cachaça out of there. Well.
Where's she pulling it from? Come on, don't. Unless she's wearing a backpack, let's skip over this bit.
What is cachaça?
It's the sugar... Is it sugar spirit?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a box of nuts.
That you make...
then I was like, where's she putting that?
No, it's what you make a caipirinha from, isn't it?
Cachaça. Oh, okay, right.
Well, turns out I've always been good at hide the bockle.
Oh, no. Bockle? Okay.
Is it written bockle?
Bockle.
It's written bockle.
I know where this is going and I don't like it.
Do you? Where on earth is it going? I mean, 2 sentences ago, they were being arrested, so I can't keep up.
I've always been good at hide the bockle, Bella barked, removing a practically full gourd of Brazilian elixir.
From where?
Doesn't specify. Huge imagination.
Well, it's coming from an orifice.
Well, exactly, so
it?
I knew where this was going.
Gosh, how we do love you, Bella. Words or tongues can never communicate it. Giselle laughed. While they were stocking the bar, Belinda had been scavenging the sand for some old driftwood.
Stocking the bar? Are they setting up a beach bar?
And where have they got... Where have they got more than one driftwood?
Well, I think they have just got one bottle of cachaça.
Grabbing the perfect twiggies, she got on her hands and knees, her perfect ass as plump and whole as the full moon above.
Whole? Why would it be anything other than whole?
She began rubbing the hard bits of wood together as vigorously as a teenage boy discovering self-pleasure for the first time.
Wringing its neck.
Not before too long, there was a fire.
Wow. Who knew they were such survival experts? Bear Grylls.
Are you guys imagining it at night or in the day?
Night. A nighttime meal.
Not before too long, there was a fire. Lighting multiple pieces of rubbish, Belinda looked at her comrades.
They're burning rubbish. I thought she was finding loads of driftwood. Well,
yeah.
I don't say this lightly, she spoke, but I love you girls. I don't know who I'd be without your friendship, guidance and laughter in my life. It's been an adventure.
Oh, bloody hell.
And there have been hard parts, of course.
Yeah, when one of them was on the run for being a murderer. Like
weeks ago.
A homicidal maniac, if I recall.
Tried to kill them multiple
times. Them many, many times.
There's been hard parts.
There's been highs. There's been lows. When they were, you would say they were arch nemeses, wouldn't you?
At one point, yeah.
But all was forgiven. And, you know, friendships are complicated, you know. So there have been hard parts, of course. Oh, there have been many hard parts, Belinda. Laughed Giselle.
Sure. Oh, God.
Love that bit.
It's a good one.
Also, you can't laugh. You were the hard part.
You were the fucking nightmare. Erections.
Yeah.
Oh, erections.
Yeah.
Still not that funny.
Oh, I mean, I would say less funny. I think it's funnier to be like, oh, whoopsie, that was me. I think you made it funnier than it was intended, and I don't think that that can go without comment.
Oh, there have been many hard parts, Belinda.
Remember Adam and his Bushmill stained hose, never mind his red London bus cock.
What? Can you say it quieter and clearer?
Sorry.
So loud.
Bella, you're on the run from the police. Shut the fuck up.
They're round a campfire. Like they're right there.
Remember Adam and his Bushmill-stained hose, never mind his red London bus cock?
Bella cackled.
No.
Of all the memories.
I can't say I do.
Oh. He. I do. Wee. I really do. Belinda wheezed and continued.
Ha ha hee, ha ha wee.
There you go.
It's a classic ha ha hee, ha ha wee moment.
God, girlies, this sand will be rock solid with tears and juices if you don't stop me laughing.
I'm not sure that's how sand works, but that's the least of our worries, isn't it?
I mean, they've definitely, like, found their tribe, haven't they?
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, we can all agree on that.
Like,
I don't know if that's a compliment.
If you brought anyone else into this group, you'd be like, fuck you laughing at. I don't get any of it.
Oh, God, girlies, the sand will be rock solid with tears and juices if you don't stop me laughing. But seriously, this new position, it's really frying my Brian.
What? I think it's Fran, your Bran.
It's frying my Brian.
I think it just fried your Brian real good.
Oh, God.
Frying my Brian.
It's really,
really
my
frying
Brian.
My Brian. I think that's brain. It's really frying my brain. I have to ask a question. What's my favourite type of egg?
What's this? Do you know what this is?
I've got no fucking idea.
You laughed like you knew.
I laughed because it was absurd. Did you think she was going to ask that question?
I just thought it was so ridiculous. It must be a thing. I think that all the way through, I'm like, oh, this must be a thing. No, it's just Rocky's like slow dissolution into complete madness.
Oh, God, are they all going to shout at the same time, like, poached? And like, oh, look, we're all the same.
Fried.
My favourite egg is...
Are you asking the group? Or, okay, go for
is
it.
What my friend describes as a vicar's egg.
Go on.
So it's sort of hard boiled, but right. like the yolk is still kind of shiny. So you could you could have it in your pocket as a vicar, and you could peel it and you could eat it sort of like an
oh,
apple.
Oh, that's cute.
But it's got like a bit of...
A bit of give to the yolk.
A bit of give.
Mm.
I once ordered a full English on...
this is fertile ground, isn't it?
Why is it that every finale, James has some sort of food-related tale? Do you remember, was it disappointing sandwiches one year? What was it?
Yeah, yeah. The mozzarella.
The mozzarella,
cheddar.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, I once ordered a full English breakfast on Deliveroo. Have you ever seen an egg that's been travelling for 20 minutes in a car? It's a sight to behold.
Was it repulsive?
I didn't eat it.
What?
It was a fried egg, and it obviously... Imagine just like...
James, I can't.
I mean, talk about juices and wetness. Yeah, this yeah. egg had
it's,
seen it all.
It's not designed for distance, though, is it? An egg, I would say, is an instant food.
Out the pan, onto the plate, as they say.
Anyway, so I have to ask you a question. What's my favourite type of egg? Giselle. Oh, Lordy Lou. You really must be pissed. Giselle laughed off, but then she contemplated the question with a respectful air.
Why?
Favourite type of egg.
This better go somewhere. This better go somewhere.
If this is the finale, people have tuned in for this.
Favourite type of egg. That's a tricky one. Is it frozen to keep your reproduction options open?
Oh, okay.
She proffered.
Why is Rocky getting involved with that discussion?
Nope. But good thinking, Batgirl. Bella?
Are we near the end?
Yeah. I'm just like, how is he going to wrap this up?
No. But good thinking, Batgirl. Bella?
Is this like one of those things like, what's your favourite kind of boat? A friendship. Like, is it going to come back around?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A friend egg.
Excellent adventures. Exciting orgasms.
Do you know what? We've just rounded this off better than it could possibly happen in the next four sentences.
Nope. But good thinking, Batgirl. Bella?
If every bizbrek we've ever had told the truth, I'd say poached.
Bingo. Belinda.
She's poaching them. She's poaching them to take them with her for the job. She's poaching them. She's going to take them.
Oh, God. Why did she just say that?
What's my favourite type of egg? Bingo.
Powdered.
Belinda tintinabulated. Is that a word?
Let's check. I don't want this to go unremarked upon.
Is it the last word?
Oh my God. God, that's a weird looking word.
Yeah, isn't it?
Is it a real word?
You look how it's written though. It's written like a Rocky word.
Tintinabulated.
The first tin, one N. The second tin, two N's. Bonkers. A ringing or tinkling sound.
Oh.
Tintinabulation.
Bingo! Belinda tintinabulated. Consider you both.
What?
Yeah, I'm Bella in this situation.
Oh, and what? Bella and Giselle asked, clearly too drunk themselves to understand.
No, I think it is quite coded.
Yeah, it's super convoluted.
Well, I can't run Bish all on my lonesome, can I?
That's what you've been hired to do.
I need both of you. How would you like to join me over in East Berlin?
What an offer.
It may only take one woman to sell a few pans, but it's going to take at least three to take over the world.
This is supposed to be rousing. Is this supposed to feel, as a woman, I'm not inspired?
Shifting her numbing ass from one bit of sand to another bit of sand.
Oh, that's distracting.
Giselle raised her glass of cachaça. Oh, they took glasses too.
Have they forged those?
Yeah, with the fire and the sand.
They really are nifty.
Giselle raised her glass.
See Bella blowing glass on the beach.
Flute anyone?
Giselle raised a glass of cachaça to the heavens. Her lips opened, allowing words to flow. G is for gin.
Oh, tea.
Bella grinned. Oh. I thought we were going to do the whole thing. Bella grinned and held her flute.
Oh my God.
Aloft.
Tea is for tonic.
Beaming, Belinda raised her own glassware receptacle to join theirs. Our six titties are supersonic. In unison, the friends, colleagues, and soul sisters chanted. Ready, guys?
Do you remember it?
Should we do it? I think.
We don't mind men.
We don't like fuss. We're the goody team. Come and get us!
To be fair, that was actually phenomenal. Where did we dredge that
from? And then the police arrived.
The triumvirate of power women downed their cachaças. Bella looked at Belinda. Belinda looked at Giselle. Giselle looked at Bella. Bella looked at Giselle. Giselle looked at Belinda.
Belinda
looked at Bella. All in a confident silence, decorated with the beautiful drapery of smiles. Guys, Belinda blinked.
Oh, of course, she had to. She had to.
And that is the end of my dad wrote it
all. Oh my God, stop.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I actually didn't expect him to say that.
That's the last piece of Rocky writing we'll ever read. Well, oh my God.
One can but dream.
Yeah, never say never.
If all of the job requests that you've put out subliminally in this episode don't come to fruition, you might be giving us a call.
Yeah, if it's a no from DreamWorks, I'll be back.
Wow, so she said no to...
Hang on, James, quickly. I actually brought some champagne just at the end of the, you know...
Do you want a flute?
...the chapter. Alice, I was hoping you could blow some glasses outside, actually.
What's hilarious is Alice has to turn her fridge off for records.
Yes.
So she's been chilling the champagne in a fridge that is off.
Can you do the honours, Jamie?
Mm. Oh my God, I'm like shaking. I'm actually emotional. Oh my God.
Do you want James to do it?
No, it's all right.
No, he still wants the glory. This is always the... I was going to say anticlimactic pop, but actually really good.
Well, cheers everyone.
Cheers. This is so special.
It is. Oh God.
Maybe a set of six glasses.
James looked at Alice. Alice looked at Jamie. Jamie looked at James. Jamie looked at Alice.
Yes, exactly. So did you want to do a quick recap, James? You were in the middle of doing that.
Well, I was just going to say, so as we leave her on her adventures, she remains single.
Yeah. Oh,
great. She's going to carry on being that independent woman.
And as we remember from the subtitle of the original book, how the sexiest sales girl in business earned her huge bonus by being the best at removing her high heels. I mean, she's done that.
She's done it.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, the high heels thing is a bit random. But like...
Would you guys agree this was a modern story of sex, erotica and passion?
Yeah.
I think modern's pushing it, yeah. But...
If it's not passionate and erotic, it's definitely not modern.
Yeah, so she got her bonus. She's got this amazing job and she's got her glee team. As a reader, I feel entirely satisfied.
And of course, you know, we should say that Dad will continue writing Belinda Blink. It's not going to end. It's just, you know, reading these books is no longer going to happen.
We have no control over that.
Exactly. He will continue until his grave, and long may Belinda reign. I did want to kind of say a few things, if that's all right, just because...
I did wonder why he was clutching his phone like that.
Yeah, I thought we'd done everything on your list. Well,
I'm just going to read out my CV, for everyone, okay? I just wanted to kind of say a few things because it is the end of My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Have you prepared a speech?
I have a little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
Well, thank God someone did.
I know.
One of us should take it seriously, guys. So it goes without saying that My Dad Wrote a Porno has been a pretty life-changing experience for all of us. And I met these two idiots, you know, when I was 18 years old. And I didn't really have a clue who I was or what I wanted to do. And to think that 20 years later, we would have done all these ridiculously stupid things together is kind of unbelievable. And you two really are like my siblings more than my friends. So I just want to say...
Can't tell if that's a good thing or bad.
I just want to say a massive thank you to both of you for being brave enough to read these sordid pages with me, you know, without knowing what the hell we were going to discover at any point. You really took a massive leap of faith, and there is nobody on the planet I would have rather read my dad's poem with than you guys. So to you two.
To us.
Cheers. And speaking of dad porn, how can I not thank Rocky Flintstone?
Yes.
You know, for being the best sport in the world and the best dad, obviously. But we have time to get all gooey with him because he is going to be appearing next week on his first and last Footnotes episode ever.
Don't say gooey, but yeah.
Yeah. There's no better person to round off my dad wrote a porno than the man himself, so we cannot wait to have him on the mic with us. But it's not just dad. I have to thank my three sisters and, of course, my mum.
Of course. Hello, Wilma.
Wilma's been through the ringer.
She really has, for letting all this happen in the first place. So to the whole Flintstone fam, thank you very much.
To the Flintstone fam.
To the Flintstone.
Cheers,
thank you, the Flintstones.
Cheers, cheers.
What a clan.
And last but not least, I know I kind of speak for all three of us when I say this, actually.
I'm not sure about that. Where's it going?
Yeah, I'll put my name to it once I've heard it. Thank you.
A massive thank you to the listeners. You know, the Blinkers.
I do agree with that.
You guys are just amazing. And my favourite thing about this show has been the community that we've built together, all of us together. You're the most supportive, funny, creative, loyal gang of perverts. Whether it's painstakingly designing the Cry No More knife or writing countless versions of Fuck Me Ken, you've been so involved and invested in the adventures of Belinda. And it's been so amazing seeing you being there for each other too. I remember a few years ago, someone tweeted that the pod had helped them with their mental health and they were struggling. And there were so many replies from fellow listeners offering support and love. And one of you said, "We Belinkers stick together." And I think that sums us all up, really. We're one big perverted family now. And we've never taken you guys for granted. And without you listening, we would never have made it this far. I mean, Belinda would probably still be handcuffed to a trellis in a maze somewhere. You really have been the best. And I know I speak for all of us when I say it's been a privilege to make the show for you all. So to the Belinkers.
Oh, to the Belinkers. Oh, what a motley crew.
So with that, we close the book of Belinda Blinked. But as we've said, do come back next week. For our very last episode.
We can't help it.
We're going, but not yet. Yeah, the very last episode with a truly iconic, can we say, I'm going to say iconic, Rocky Flintstone.
I mean, completely nuts that we're letting him come on. To basically have the last word. It's the official right to reply, isn't it? After all these years of having a pop.
And next week, we promise, it's the final.
It is the final.
It really is the end next week. You've said it all, really, Jamie. I don't really know what else to add to that, but lovely words.
I know from when things that I've enjoyed watching and listening to, when they end, it really feels like a loss. And I think...
Yeah.
It will feel like a big loss in our lives that we don't come and sit around the table and do this, because it's been such a big part of our friendship and a big, big part of just how we've grown up in like nearly 10 years, probably like when we first started talking about it. It's really bonkers to me. I feel like I've been in one of Rocky's scenes and the time's jumped from 2014 to 2022 and I don't know how it happened. It's wild.
And I'd like to say a few words, even though you two have fucking stolen everything. To say, I agree with everything they said and I endorse it. And imagine me saying it too. But I think we should say some specific thank yous. Thank you to everyone who was a Footnotes guest.
Yes.
We love you all. And thank you so much for giving us your time to chat about the crazy world of Belinda. We also want to thank our friend Klein, who designed that little podcast artwork you're always trying to hide on your phone so people don't know what you're listening to. Our friend Klein Borrell designed that and he did a fantastic job, so thank you, Klein. Martin Batchelor,
legend,
he came up with the now iconic My Dad Wrote a Porno theme tune.
He did.
We sent him a very weird brief 8 years ago.
Did we say a kind of sexy, slinky, sleazy
70s, corny? Exactly. So round of applause, Martin. our friend Annie Morris, who has helped us with loads of our posters and all the beautiful designs you see on our socials.
Gorgeous visuals.
Gorgeous. Thank
beautiful
you
gowns.
To you. Beautiful gowns. And we just want to give a big shout out to Acast, who are our distributor. I've never really known what they do.
That's a very informal way of saying it. I feel like we've grown up with them.
We have. They saw something in us really early. I remember we pitched the idea super early. They were like, I love it. It's hilarious. And we've kind of been with them ever since, and they've been amazing, and they've been nurturing.
They've gone from small offices to big offices. I'm just saying, like, is that correlation something to do with success?
And because of this world we've built together and this big gang or perverted family, as Jamie put it, you know, we thought, the podcast is ending, but I don't want to be too teasy here, but my dad wrote a porno isn't ending, so just keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
You don't create a phenomenon and then put a full stop after it.
You don't. You put a semicolon, and that's what we're doing. So consider this a semicolon, and just, you know, we'll see you soon.
So yes, please do join us next week for the last ever episode. And a very special footnotes with the main man himself, Mr. Rocky Flintstone.
Actually, can't wait.
It's going to be amazing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.